you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, Harrington, what's going
what's
on,
up?
Bud? I was going to say, Happy New Year. Welcome back to 2022. Welcome to the show. But how you doing, Harrington? You okay, mate?
I'm doing great, man. This is a new year, new me. I'm super excited to be starting 2022.
What is new about Harrington for 2022? What is new in 2022 specifically for you? The blue chew.
This hat is brand new. I break out a new hat every January, and then I don't know.
Someone lets him touch him this year.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me? What was that?
Someone
lets him touch him this year.
That is new. That is new. How are you doing, Brian, before we move on? Because you're looking, you said before you haven't slept in like 3 days. And I said, don't tell me, save it for the show. But what is going on? You got some extreme bouts of insomnia, Brian?
Yeah, that, you know, seasonal crushing depression. And, you know, there's a ton of work to do.
SAD, so. Seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, I think that might be what it's called.
Is that really what it's called?
Yes.
Its acronym is SAD.
The acronym is fucking sad for many, many things in life. The seasonal affective disorder. Yeah, yeah. Well, my fucking COVID is affecting my seasonal disorder right now. I didn't do jack shit on New Year's Eve. You do anything, you fellas?
Nope. I went to sleep. I think I went to sleep around 10:30 on New Year's Eve, and then that was the last time I've slept. So.
Right. Okay. So that was what, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. So you're on 2.5 days.
Yeah, I'm going to go to bed right when I'm done putting this together.
Okay. All right. We'll get some rest, buddy. Get some rest. Yeah. More, as I said, my New Year's Eve was non-existent. Just to be honest, you know, we don't do much anyway these days. But Ellie went out to a party. The rest of us all had COVID. She's the only one in the house that never got COVID. So she went out with some friends, went to a party, enjoyed themselves. We stayed in. What did we have? We didn't even have a good meal. We watched the original Matrix on TV. Sorry, on HBO. We enjoyed that. That was great. Lucas loved it. We were talking about this before. First time he's ever seen it. First time come. Sorry.
Callum's never seen the Matrix.
Callum had never seen it either. But Lucas was 11 and he understood every single fucking bit of it. And I was kept having to pause and say, right, so what's going on here? And he's like, no, Dad, I get it. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe children's minds are a little formatted a little better to understand this kind of virtual reality concept or the Matrix, for want of a better word.
You know, it's why I think the new one was cool, but we can move on from that.
We talked about this on the last episode, so we're not going to get into it, but that was our New Year's Eve. You say new year, new you. That's what you should be doing. People mock New Year's resolutions all the time. They always mock it. Oh, yeah, okay, whatever.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah, but why? Why would you mock it? Why would you mock somebody with the intention, even if they fail miserably, with the intention to better oneself? That is the journey that we're on, Brian, to become better people.
I give everybody credit for trying, for at least wanting to be a better person. But, like, it's a fad. Everybody's doing it. It's like when everybody had, I don't know, Tamagotchis when I was like a toddler or whatever. Everybody does it and nobody really cares.
Well, no, you're right. Nobody cares about Tamagotchis. Okay. Fuck
Fair
me.
Enough.
You're absolutely right there, Brian. No, listen, I don't know. I haven't had a drink in 3 days. I didn't have a drink New Year's Eve. Sat
wow.
Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. You know what I mean? Feel like $1 million, sleeping like a baby. Still got COVID, still coughing a little bit, but I had my first workout. My New Year's resolution is going to stick, Brian. It's a change in the mindset. Do you know what I mean? I've got things I want to do this year. You know,
yeah,
I want to read more.
Than most people.
I'm going to say again.
I said, but you're built better than most people. You know what I mean? Like, you make a goal, you achieve it. Not everybody does that. That is a rare thing in the
life. Yeah, I mean, I do that. I have been known, like, I conceive an idea and then I believe it's going to happen. And then I guess the ultimate stage of that is achieving, done to death. I apologize. We've heard that so many times.
So,
but yeah, tis the season for improvement, Brian.
You've replaced boozing with books?
Boozing with books. Not really. But I do want to read more. We should try and read more. Do you know what I'm saying? I want to read more. I'm fucking.
I was thinking that. When's the last time you read a book? Like, it was cover to cover, started a book and finished it.
I mean, obviously this year. Well,
last year.
Yeah, I read a book in 2021. What are you reading right there? Hitch 22. Oh, what did I read? I read 1984, which Callum mocked me so badly for. He's like, oh my God, who do you think you are reading 1984? I said, what's wrong with that? I said,
classic.
George Orwell. It's a classic. I've never read it. So I read 1984. As I say, Callum just mocked the living daylights out of me. I don't know why. He's like, it's so cliche to read, Dad. I'm like, well, it's a fucking classic.
So what it is,
you ask, it's an instruction manual.
well, no, exactly. Yeah, especially for fucking COVID and the draconian ways that we find ourselves living under.
I didn't say it.
In America, I know, like, they do force you to read the classics, like, in high school, and it kind of makes the classics a little lame. You know what I mean?
Well, what classics are you referring to, and what did you read in high school?
So, like, it's kind of hacked to, like, read Catcher in the Rye now, but, like, that book rules. I love Catcher in the Rye.
Never read it. What is Catcher in the Rye about?
It's about a kid who, like, leaves a prep school to, like, spend a couple, like, a night in New York, right? Like, imagine a 13-year-old boy with, like, money in New York just, like, chilling. And, I don't know, like, the kind of trouble you can get into as, like, a young kid in New York. It always seemed like the coolest thing in the world to me.
Is it a child's book?
No, it's, like, something you read when you're, like, 16 to, like, 20. You know what I mean?
Okay, so 42 is off the table.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, like, but it's like it's in that same vein.
Give me a book that I should read. Because this is the thing. Because Rebecca reads a lot, but she reads novels, you know, and she reads, you know, fiction. She reads fiction novels, you know, which she loves. I try and read, I don't know, something that I might learn from. She said, that's your problem, Michael. You're always trying to learn. Just read a story and you'll learn accidentally as it goes along. But I'm like, I don't really want to read some fucking fiction bullshit, you know what I mean, about someone. I'd rather read a book about something that actually happened and learn something like that. But she said, but that's where you're going wrong because those books are boring. I'm like, well, I don't think they're that boring.
I don't know. I try the biographies. Like, I try reading about, like, George Washington and these people's lives. Oh, and I'm like, man,
terrible.
This
that sounds terrible.
This is not that fun. But, like, it's cool to me when a fiction writer does the homework, right? And, like,
hold on.
Kurt Vonnegut, Slaughterhouse-Five. Read that in high school.
It's a good one. Read it.
I read last year as well, Ozzy Osbourne's autobiography. That's a good book. If you want to read a good autobiography, Ozzy Osbourne's is fantastic. That was really, really good. Anyway,
yeah, imagine.
We are not the people to have the Believe You Me book club review, okay? You might be. Brian, by all accounts, has many books on hand that he can show.
I feel like I am.
All day. People do not watch this podcast to hear me fumble my way through book reviews, okay? I don't know. In fact, I don't know why they watch it, but still, New Year's, do you have a New Year's resolution before we move on?
Yeah, I want to use a planner more, right? Like, that is really, I feel like something I've always been averse to, and, like, just writing down what I'm going to do the next day and then sticking to a schedule, I feel will increase productivity by 50%, bare minimum.
That's what I'm trying to increase, productivity. I find myself wasting too much of days. You know what I mean? Social media is definitely one that I spend far too much time. I don't mean to. I get up in the morning, I have my morning coffee whilst I watch the news. I'm scrolling. I check my emails in bed, right? So technically I'm working, you know what I mean? But then you get distracted, say, okay, let's do the rounds on Twitter. Then you do Instagram and then you do Facebook, okay? And then it's time to get up. But then you go, well, I'll just refresh Twitter. Do you know what I mean? And just see if there's anything, see if anything's progressed on that last tweet that I bought. And then you think, fuck it, I'll go back to Instagram. And before you know it, I mean, it's okay because it's Christmas right now. Before you know it's 10 o'clock.
You're doing,
you know,
TikTok dances?
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. Me and Ellie are fucking doing this shit, you know. But yeah, productivity, that's what I've got to increase in 2021, as well as not drinking so much. As I said last time, I drank, you know, I've been never an alcoholic because, you know, but a casual social drinker since I was like 16. So I'm trying to eradicate it 100% from my life. We'll see. The problem is Rebecca doesn't want to, and she's telling me that I have to continue drinking. She's like, well, I don't want to be with someone boring. I'm like, yes, I know, but I don't want to drink. She goes, well, Michael, you just, everything in moderation. I'm like, yeah, I know, but moderation is not really what I'm known for. So I'm trying, do you know what I mean? But I have that little devil on the shoulder in the form of Rebecca Sidgwick.
Well, like there's like moderation of days, you know what I mean? Like that's definitely like one way to tackle that. But would you ever do something like, you know, I know you're saying eradicate it forever, which is, it's a lofty goal, which is insane. You're not going to not have a drink at like, you know, your son's wedding. So like, let's just knock that off the table. But could you do something like a dry January, right? No, that seems to be pretty popular now.
No, but that's what I'm doing. The month of January, I'm not drinking at all. And then I'm going to try and string that along to the month of February, you know, and then come the end of Feb. The 28th of February is my birthday. Hopefully by then I'll be in ridiculous shape. I'll be like, oh, look at me, I've done great. And now I'm going to ruin it all. I'm going to go on a 3-month bender, get all fat again. You know what I mean? Make a dick out of myself. But still,
just in time for summer.
Just in time for summer. All right, today's episode is brought to you by Sheath Underwear. Sheath Underwear offers incredibly comfortable underwear that is especially useful heading into the new year. We've all been there. Listen, you know the deal. Boxers that bunch up, they get sweaty and they leave your man parts uncomfortable and sticky. Well, the Sheath underwear, you can comfortably keep everything cool and separated. You can wear Sheath as normal briefs or utilize the latest in men's brief technology, the dual pouch, which gives your wiener its very own place to chill, to call its own, and no more readjusting to avoid its sweaty roommates. Listen, it's got a pouch. You can keep them separated. They're not going to get all sweaty. It's very, very comfortable. But more importantly, the designs are fantastic. They fit really well. And they feel great on. And let me tell you, they last a long bloody time as well. Some of the first Sheath underwear that I got sent, the colors haven't faded. They still look fantastic and the designs are great. Honestly, you're going to need some new underwear at some point. I strongly advise going to sheathunderwear.com. When you're there, use the code BELIEVE20. You're going to get 20% off the order. They have supported this show for a long time. So please, when you want to buy some underwear, support Sheath Underwear and support the show by going to sheathunderwear.com. Use the code BELIEVE20. You're going to get 20% off your order. Get ready for summer by getting your dick and balls their own apartment. Okay, where were we? All right, it is a new year. The UFC will be back in action in a week on Saturday, January 15th. We have Giga Chikadze taking on Kelvin Kattar. That's a great fight to start the new year. And then, of course, you know, the show starts and goes on and brings us to March 19th, which would be hopefully the UFC's return to London, and hopefully one Paddy the Baddy Pimblett will be joining us or be on that fight card. And all this is leading up to quite the segue for me to say that Paddy the Baddy Pimblett joined us earlier today, sat down with us. We had a few words with him. So without further ado, let's roll that tape. Ladies and gentlemen, welcoming to the Believe You Me podcast, none other than Paddy the Baddy Pimblett. Paddy, we're going to start with this straight away, mate. By the way, Happy New Year's. Happy New Year. Thanks for joining the show.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. The moniker that gets thrown around these days is Paddy the Faddy. You know what I mean? And you come on, you're devouring the fried chicken, mate. You're living up to the nickname.
Salt and pepper chicken, lad. It's my birthday, innit? I haven't had nothing to eat all day. And I walked up Mo' Vama today, so
nice.
We've seated ourselves tonight. I've just had a big triple cheeseburger. And just eating some wings.
As you do. You said it was your birthday. How old?
27.
27. Nice. Well, congrats, mate. So that sounds lovely. You said to me yesterday you were going to go Ingleton Falls. Did you go?
No, we ended up going to Mo' Vama instead. We were going to go to Ingleton Falls, but Mo Van was just a little bit of a, it's not as long in the car, and then
right,
so it gets to them around a bit more.
Yeah, nice one. Yeah, Ingleton Falls is up by my way. I said that to you yesterday. So, but yeah, all right, mate. Well, listen, happy birthday, happy new year, all that good stuff. The first question I want to ask you, Paddy, of course, you've had a meteoric rise. Everyone's talking about you. One fight in the UFC. I was there, of course. Sensational victory. Congrats again. And the fucking, you know, the rise has been amazing. You are the person that everyone's talking about. I don't know if that's going to continue if you keep sucking on those fucking chicken wings like that, though, mate. Fuck me. Donald Cowboy
properly. I always say this to people. You've got to eat your chicken wing properly.
It's disgusting. You're making me sick. My son, Callum, eats chicken wings in the most disgusting way, but I think you might have talked to me.
That's how your chicken wings should look. It should look. You know what I mean? And animals die for this, so make the most of it.
No, fair point. But let me ask you this, because here's what my son does, because he is an animal himself. When of course, we're family, right? He'll look at other people's wings. And if there's a bit of meat left on the wing, he fucking picks it up. No, that's gross, man.
You just missed, lad. My fiance's in another room and she just laughed her head off when she heard you say that, because she knew I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah, I no way. There's no amount of money on earth that I would pay to eat the leftover carcass of somebody else's fucking chicken wing.
If you don't eat it properly, I eat it for you. That's just... Yeah.
That's hey, waste not one that. Waste
exactly,
not one
you can't. Every little helps. Times are hard. You've got to eat as much as you can.
Exactly. Cowboy Cerrone, 5th of March. This is the rumour. You've seen it. It's going around everywhere. It's
going
around
everywhere, but there's no truth to it. Like, not on a mind. Do you really think that the UFC are going to put me on a card on the 5th of March in Vegas when they're doing London on the 19th?
Well, that's what I thought, to be honest, because it doesn't make sense, but it kind of does make sense at the same time. Of course, if they're doing the 19th of March, which I know they are, and as long as it goes fucking ahead, then it would make sense to have you on there. But then I thought, wow, 5th of March, Paddy's getting the fucking pay-per-view treatment. See, that would make sense as well.
Well, I would still like to fight in London in front of my home crowd. You know what I mean? Be sick. Be nice to walk out and I'd show everyone what they've been missing with crowds and entrances, lads. It'll be walk out of the year, confirmed straight away, before we're only in March.
There we go. All right, then. Has there been any potential opponents thrown your way?
No, the UFC hasn't come at me with any opponents. You know what I mean? After he mentioned me, I thought me and Jared Gordon might get matched together. You know what I mean? But as I say, I've got no idea. We'll see what happens.
And Cerrone's a welterweight anyway. I don't think he's going to come back to 155 anytime soon.
Yeah, I think that was just Chael having a little go for some clickbait or something.
Is that where it started?
Yeah, it started fucking with Chael. Chael done a video.
I can hear a dog in the background. You would have thought he'd been knackered, mate. You've had him out all day. Is this a new pup? Oh, he's beautiful. Or she.
10 months he is now, lad. He's getting bigger now, but yeah, he's just sitting here because he knows there's food on the table, so he's just doing his little noise. Had to try and get some food out of me. But he can't have none of this anyway. It's all salt and pepper. It's too spicy for him.
I've got a little, I don't know what he is, a little shit is what he is. He just fucking begs, mate. He begs for a fucking bit.
Like that.
Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. And my wife thinks she's fucking Dr. Doolittle. She gives me shit. Because I do. I'm a soft ass. I give him a little bit. You know what I mean? She's like, that's why he begs. That's why he begs. And I'm like, yeah, but come on. I'm done anyway.
Yeah, but he's a dog, though. I always say that he's going to beg. He's a dog. You can't. It's one of them things. Unless he's proper trained like an army dog, then he's gonna beg. It's one of them things. They want food. Yesterday I was playing on my Xbox streaming, and it's a good job I haven't got a camera, because he come over and started humping me. I had to fight him off me while I was playing the Xbox like that, pushing him away from me. He's getting strong.
Yeah, you probably enjoyed it, Paddy. Let's be honest. A little bit of love goes a long way. Talking of love, you are getting tremendous amounts. What is this? Barstool Sports? Tell me about that.
That's just the deal of a lifetime, to be honest. Like, to have changed my life. Yeah. By the end of that deal, I will be a millionaire. So
nice.
It's going to be. But I've been to the Barstool's office and that, the Barstool's, all the people who work there, the Barstool's family, everyone's cool as fuck, lad.
Yeah.
Everyone's boss, lad. The office there, I walked in and was just like, you work here. This is your place of work. This is boss.
Yeah, that's in New York City, is it?
Yeah, right in New York City, around the corner from MSG and Henzo's and stuff.
That's amazing. So have you started doing content for them yet? Because I haven't seen it. I see your show, Chatting Pony. I see you talk about that here and there. But have you started actually banging out the content for Barstools?
For Barstools, yeah. I was in I've done stuff for the NYC card, the Madison Square Garden card.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, that was the last time I saw you.
And then I've done stuff when Liverpool played Arsenal with Supes, because they had Supes signed. And I send some pics over and stuff like that. So I've still got loads of stuff to do with them, to be honest. There's still lots of stuff that we need to do and get sorted on that. So like when Liverpool play Arsenal again in the next few weeks, as we've got them in the cup, I think I'm going to get something on with Supes again. So there's all sorts of content that I need to do with Barstools. But as I say, that it's limitless what I can do with Barstools. Like, the podcast's my own thing, and the same with the vlogs. I've just started doing my own vlogs, and they're my own thing.
I saw the video, I forget his name, the guy from Barstool, and when you were doing the football match, he was there with you, and you were on your feet because Liverpool, are you a Liverpool fan, right? Was it Liverpool you were watching?
Come on, Mike, come on.
I don't know about football, mate. I don't know nothing about football, and I'm not going to pretend. But I saw you on your feet. Obviously, you're a passionate fan. You're losing your fucking mind. And then the other geezer from Barstool, as I say, I forget his name, he was there, and he didn't look quite as comfortable. He was like trying to join in, trying to do it, but he's like, you know what I mean? An American getting so worked up for soccer, as they call it, you know, he looked a little uncomfortable,
yeah, so,
a little
like,
out of his
only,
element.
Like, me, Troops, and another lad, a Spurs fan there, can't remember his name, terrible with names, he looks like Deontay Wilder, but us three were there, and then there was a good few Yanks, know what I mean? And as you say, they don't really understand it. At the same time as we had that on, there was two screens with American football on at the same time.
Right. All right, okay. Well, listen, congrats on that, mate. That's fucking amazing. Well done for you, Paddy. So, 19th of March, then.
That's what I'm guessing, and that's what I've been told, that me and Molly will be fighting on the same card.
So. Oh, nice. Well, that'll be awesome. It's always good to do that. You go through training camp with one of your teammates. It's one of the best scenarios. Any potential opponents thrown out? Anybody?
No, literally nothing. Like, really? At the minute, I'm still waiting on, like...
Come on, Paddy. You can't fucking say...
I'm not even saying I can't say. Someone's just asked me this in the burger gaff I've just been in.
January, Paddy.
I've just been asked in the burger gaff. And I'm like, nah, I don't know, you know. They're like, lad, come on, you know. And I'm like, no, lad. Like, Molly's got an opponent. A few other people have got opponents, like Jack
Tom's
Jordan.
Got an opponent. What's his guy called? What's his name?
Who's?
The dog.
Oh, Lenny.
Lenny, fuck off, Lenny.
Yeah, Lenny,
fuck off, man. I'm kidding. He's fucking gorgeous. He's gorgeous. No opponents.
No opponents.
I mean, you don't have to tell me. I respect that because I used to get shit all the time.
I can't even say to you, I can't say, because I haven't even had like potential opponents sent over to me. I'd have thought I'd have one by now.
Yeah. Well, that is a little late in the day then, I guess, but you know, I'm sure they've got something up their sleeve. Who would you like, though? Who do you think would be a logical matchup?
As I say, I really don't care that, because he mentioned me in his post-fight interview, and like he beat me former teammate. Lad, I would like to fight Jared Gordon. You know what I mean?
Who was your former teammate? Is it Grundy?
No, Fishy. He'd be Fishy.
Lad. Sorry, pardon me. Fishy.
So obviously, I would like to I would like to beat him. You know what I mean? And he's on a 3-fight win streak.
His last loss was to
Oliveira, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, fingers crossed that'll be a good matchup. A little bit of a step up. So, yeah, I mean, that's the way you want to do it. What else is new in your life? Because have you won any of the awards? Because I see your name. You were a contender for, I think you got, hold on. You got fucking like debut of the year somewhere.
I think I got debut of the year. Yeah, I think I got that. And on Fight Pass Awards, I got graduate of the year.
What does that mean, graduate?
No idea.
Brian Harrington, graduate of the year. I mean, I guess, what's that? Just basically
newcomer. Said I beat that Erin Branchfield to it. That just about beat her to it or something. And then I think on the MMA on Points, which is just a page on YouTube that I follow, they give me breakthrough fighter of the year.
Nice. We'll
see if anyone else gives any out of that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, there's a big one coming up soon, Paddy. They're called the BT Sport Award Show. We're doing that on, when is it? Wednesday, I think. Wednesday, and you are a contender in a couple of those, mate. Yeah, so stay tuned.
I am for that then, definitely.
Yeah, with the lads, Nick and Adam, yeah. What else is going on in your life, mate? Anything new? Other than Barstool Sports, UFC, being the contender of the year, the fucking debut of the year, the graduate of the year, a new dog.
I told you before I thought I said this was coming. It was always coming. It's always been in my destiny, lad, and it's going to continue like this.
Where does that confidence come from, Paddy?
I don't know, lad. Everyone always asks me, I'll be honest. I don't even know where it comes from myself, because when I was a kid, I wasn't like a confident, loud child. You know what I mean? I was quite quiet. I wasn't like out there or nothing, lads, but I've just got...
Were you a kid that was always getting in scraps when you were younger?
I had a few fights in year seven, but that's about it. You know what I mean?
Right, so it's not like you were some notorious scrapper.
No, I wasn't a big kid or not. You know what I mean? I was only small. And then
when did you get into MMA?
When I was 15, I started training at 15.
And what was the first discipline? Was it MMA from the get-go?
MMA, yeah. I just walked into Next Gen and started training MMA.
And what, 27? That's so 12 years. Did I see you got your black belt just recently?
My first degree.
Nice. Nice. Congrats, mate. That's amazing. I'm yet to get mine. I mean, I'm a brown belt in BJJ, but I haven't had a gi on in.
I don't do gi. I can't do gi. That's what's boss about our gym, but mainly no gi jiu-jitsu.
It's impossible when you're training for MMA fights. There's so much shit you have to cover, you know, then you haven't got time to put the gi on as well. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, you haven't. I always say that. Like, I might do gi when I retire because then I've got time to do it. But now it just gets in the way and hinders me no gi game.
Yeah, well, no, it's because it's so different and it pisses me off. In fact, everyone keeps grabbing my fucking trouser legs. I'm like, let go of my fucking trouser leg. Okay, you little muppet. And I don't know how to break the grips because I just don't wear a gi enough. Do you know what I mean?
Also, I don't want to hit up them part of my fingers. I'm a little bit girly like that.
What, your fingernails, pad?
No, that part of your finger there, lad, above your nail. No, off gripping the gi.
Yeah, yeah.
Lad, I don't want to hit that. I've seen some people with horrible fingers off gis, lad.
Yeah, I know. I messed up my finger. See that? Just there, a little bit. Anyway, that was last time I was in a gi. My finger bent sideways, 90 degrees. Fucking horrible, mate. Horrible. All right, Harrington. You got any? I think Harrington's got a couple of questions for you, mate, before we let you go.
Yeah,
we didn't
want
to keep you too long. There he is. A fine specimen of a fucking man for you.
How many wings have I got left?
Get looking to your chicken while you have a listen to the ramblings of Mike Harrington.
I have the definition of the graduate of the year here. It seems that it's somebody who graduated from being like a star on Fight Pass, like Patty was, fighting in Cage Warriors, now doing it in the UFC. They noted the seven-figure deal with Barstool, and as you said, gave a shout-out to Aaron Blanchfield in there. Yeah, Patty, let me see here. So how many – oh, man, I am absolutely struggling right now.
Are you nervous?
I'm not nervous to be talking to the young star, Patty the Batty Pimblett, that my girlfriend did say is her favorite UFC fighter, which, congratulations on that.
Love it.
Yeah. We talked about...
Just so you know, Patty, every fucking time, he just wants to let the world know he's got a girlfriend now. First time ever. He cannot go a single fucking episode without mentioning that I have a girlfriend. Just want to throw it out there. My girlfriend says that Patty is her favorite fighter, which is code for saying, hi, everyone, I have a girlfriend.
Hey, bet you his beard's made up. He says it, though.
Defo.
I mean, you know, yeah. I don't know. I mean,
he's doing big things. A year ago, he was homeless. Now he's running comedy clubs. He's on the podcast. He's got a girlfriend. He has an apartment. And he's speaking to Paddy the Baddy. I mean, life is good for Harrington right now. Now, I've filled enough time. Do you have a question to ask fucking Paddy?
Well, I'm trying to think here. All right. You were just recently in New York. What was your favorite spot you hit up in New York City?
What you mean, like food?
Yeah, I mean, food, entertainment, bars, you know what I mean? What was the best part of your New York experience?
Going to the UFC. It was a heavy card.
Is that the first one you've been to, Paddy? Like a pay-per-view?
The first one I've been to where I've been had seats that good and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah. No, wow. I think you were on the same role as me, right? You were just a few seats.
Yeah, there was Vittori, Kayla Harris, and then you, weren't there?
Yeah. What a fucking event that was as well.
Yeah, that was unbelievable, that event. I couldn't get over how good it was.
Yeah. What do you think, who's going to be next in the lightweight division for Oliveira? I mean, probably
it's all
just Gagey.
Yeah, Gagey.
This time next year,
who can't beat him? I don't know who can.
This time next year, who's the champ?
whoever wins out of Oliveira Gaethje, because I can't see Makhachev beating either of them.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Makhachev hasn't fought anyone, lad.
I don't know about
only
that.
Only fought Hooker.
Yeah. Well, I know, and that was a good matchup. No, you know what? Actually, it's not a bad point, Paddy.
I think I'd submit Hooker in the first round.
Well, yeah, no, because he's a kickboxer. He's a kickboxer.
I mean, he's a kickboxer. He's got a little. I'd take him down, submit him.
He's got a little defensive grappling, but he's not a grappler by any stretch of the imagination. So that was a good matchup. Yeah, interesting, because I kind of have.
Makhachev.
Say again.
I think Dariush beats Makhachev.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah. I beat Dariush me. I think he's very underrated. He's
unbelievable.
Quality.
Yeah, no, he is. He is. So you think Dariush beats Makhachev, and then he's probably going to get to fight Gaethje?
It's Gaethje or Oliveira. I really can't pick Gaethje or Oliveira, you know, because saying that, I'm going to go with Gaethje. Even though I went with Poirier over Oliveira. And lad, after watching that fight as well, and watching that, thinking, lad, if Oliveira can do that to you, Dustin, I can.
Absolutely.
It's mad, lad, when you watch. MMA match doesn't work, like, but when you watch fights, you're just like, wow, if he can do that there in that position, then fucking I can.
Have you allowed yourself to, like, track out a potential roadmap? I mean, obviously, it's early days yet, right? You've only had one fight. But of course, you're coming in, you talk a great game, you fight well, you know, you're the whole package. You know, have you sat down with the manager and said, listen, in a perfect world, what does that look like, that journey? Is it 2 years, 18 months, five fights, four fights? What does that look like to you to get to a title shot?
It's not going to be five fights in lightweight division, lad. That's why I was always thinking about going down to featherweight, because if I went down to featherweight, it would be something like five fights. The featherweight division's a lot slimmer than the lightweight division. I think it is, personally, anyway. You know what I mean? You can jump up the featherweight rankings a lot quicker than you can the lightweight rankings.
Five fights, though, I don't think that's unbelievable. If you had five more solid victories, do you know what I mean? That'd be six in a row. You've only had one fucking win, and everyone's talking about it.
I'd want to be ranked by then, like, definitely.
Yeah. So but to answer the question, have you tracked out a roadmap of what you think that would be?
No. I take it one fight at a time. I stuff like that, I let my management and my coach take care of. I'm the fighter. I'm just good at fighting.
Who is your manager, Paddy?
Graham Boylan.
All right, no, I don't know him. Is he a UK guy?
Intensity. He owns Cage Warriors.
Oh, shit. Oh, no, that's right. No, I knew the name. Yeah, of course. Yeah, my bad. He wasn't around in my day. But all right. So what have you got on there? You got on a bathrobe?
My dressing gown on, yeah.
Dressing gown.
A bathrobe. Sound all American, Mike.
Yeah, but hold on. But that's because I say to my little lad when he wears a gown, he says, Dad, it's not a gown. It's what did I call it? What did I say
a
to you?
A bathrobe.
A bathrobe. Bathrobe, dressing gown. Fucking same shit, Paddy. Come on, mate. Fucking
I hate it when people call it a house coat. I say, lad.
A house coat?
Yeah, that's a new one to me. Is that a new one to you? Some people by ours say house coat and say, lad, you don't wear a coat in the house. Why would you have a house coat?
Harrington, have you ever referred to a dressing gown as a house coat?
No. I call it the straight robe, man, because robes are pimping, dude. That's like, that gives you Hefner vibes.
Exactly. All right, mate. Well, listen, we'll let you get back to your chicken. Oh, you got one more, Harrington?
Yeah, I did want to ask because, you know, you're obviously focused on the card on March 19th, but the UFC is now saying that they might be coming back to Brooklyn here in April. Like, what is your 2021 going to look like? Are you going to try to stay active if you get on this March
this
card?
Year, yeah.
Is April in the spring a target?
At least three fights this year, like, at least. If it come out to this unscathed in March, then you want me to fight on. What date's the April card?
I believe it's the end of April, like the 24th or 27th, I think.
Well, yeah, that gives me 4 or 5 weeks out of it. I'm not going to balloon up after this one. I'm going to try anyway, because I want to fight pretty soon after it. So,
where's the weight right now?
Ah, lad, me scales, the battery in the scales is broke, and I haven't even got the heart to go and get a new battery for it at the minute. So,
ignorance is bliss.
Exactly.
Because my lad...
I'm about 185, though.
My son, Callum... He's going to be 197, and he's like 230 right now. And I'm like, every day I've been going and said, Callum, get on the fucking scale. And he finds any excuse not to. I'll be there in a minute. I'll do this. I'll do that. Let me use the toilet. Let me have some food first. I'm like, why do you want to have food first before you get on the fucking scale?
Yeah,
just come and get on the fucking scale.
I can't if I eat food, I can't get on the scales, then I have to wait till the next day when I've got an empty stomach.
So you're about 185.
Yeah.
About 185.
I definitely could be even lighter at the minute because my appetite, I've lost my appetite. I had COVID a few days ago, so did the missus. So like my appetite hasn't been the same as it usually is, so I definitely could be even lighter.
Yeah, no, I'm still recovering from it right now. How did you feel? Was it bad?
No, I never had it bad, but my missus has come up in a rash off it, lad, which is one of the new symptoms, which is mad.
Yeah, no, I spent about 2 days in bed, just you know, just feeling like shit. And then I've got a little bit of cough. I worked out, there it is, right on cue. I worked out this morning for the first time in a few weeks just because I'm losing my fucking mind out of boredom here. Do you know? Because we did an at-home test yesterday. It's still positive. I reckon I've got about 2 more days and then hopefully I can have my life back.
Yeah, we stayed in a little cabin on Wednesday and on Boxing Day and stayed till the 30th. So we were in a cabin in the woods on our own. So we were just taking the dog for a walk in the cabin. And then
I done
a half marathon yesterday. So I'm getting myself back fit again, know what I mean?
Ah, yeah, that's good. 13 miles, mate. Right. Well, listen, keep us posted. Let us know if you book an appointment. I'm sure you'll hear something soon.
I think
you're full of shit, Paddy. I think you know.
I don't. Promise you now. Listen, promise you now, because everyone's been asking me. All I've had on my Twitch stream is, you're fighting Cerrone. I'm like, no, I'm not. And then people are like, who are you fighting? And I'm like, I don't know, because I don't. Like, I even said to Graham yesterday, today. Yeah, it's my birthday today, because he said happy birthday to me today. Said, what's going on with the opponents? Any idea? And he said, they'll probably shoot one over in the next few days.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, listen, fingers crossed I get to see you out there in March, because March 19th is the date. I've got it penciled in. I haven't got my flights booked yet, but you never know with this.
That's happening. I'm going to take someone's head off again in the O2 and I'll announce myself once again.
Well, there we go. Well, I'm looking forward to it, mate. All the best. Paddy, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it, mate. Get back to your chicken. Happy New Year. Rest up.
Thanks for having
Can't wait for the next fight. And much love.
Happy New Year. Happy Christmas. See you later.
All right, mate. Take it easy, Paddy. There he is. Harrington, show yourself. Got a little flustered there, Harrington.
Yeah, just a little bit.
What was it, the way you were sucking on that chicken bone?
Honestly, what it was the puppy. The puppy was too cute, man. I was, you know, just taken aback to be in the presence of such a cute pupster.
It was a beautiful little dog. Yeah. No, he said to me yesterday he was going for a walk to Ingleton Falls, which is a place nearby my house. I was like, oh, shit. Son of a bitch. I missed that place. Nice place. But there he is, Paddy the Baddy. Do you believe him when he says he hasn't got an opponent? I got to say, I do. I was busting his balls, but they are cutting it fine. But March 19th, he would be. I know Tom Aspinall's on the fight card, and I know who's fighting, but he's sworn me to secrecy. So obviously, I respect that. Darren Till, I'm assuming, would be on there, right? Makes sense.
Is he?
You think,
like,
Paddy's going to be the main event after one fight?
Probably not. I think Paddy will be on the main card. I think if Darren is available, Darren would have to be the main event of any kind of a UK card right now.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, who else could you put there?
Yeah, well, there's Tom Aspinall. It's just that he's got a solid opponent, but Tom's on a 4-fight win streak in the UFC. 4 wins. 4 stoppages, I believe.
That is about the time he would get. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, my God. He just had a realization. Because no disrespect to Darren, but Darren's lost 4. He's won 4. Do you know what I mean? So, your mic in just a little bit. Are you talking about me? Oh, is that me?
Yeah, no. I'm the one who's had the rough mic settings this episode. So I think that flustered me, honestly, more than anything with the Paddy interview. Was like, is this coming through all right? And then I realized I had absolutely nothing to say. But it was kind of cool to see him talking about, you know, the 2021 schedule, 3 fights planned. That's a, you know, that's a big undertaking.
Yeah, but that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants 3 fights, sometimes 4. I'm trying to think, did I ever have more than 3? No, I think I only ever had 3 in 1 year, but that's a good year. By the time you do 2 months in camp, you need a little bit of time off, all the rest of it. But still, anyway, Paddy the Baddy, we'll stay tuned for that one. We've got a big show to get through. We've got lots and lots of awards. It is the first week in January for the Believe You Me podcast, and I guess we've got to give out some awards. So before we do that, let's just hear from our sponsors. Okay, support for the Believe You Me podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming? Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and they obsess over their technology developments, which is what has brought us to the Lawnmower 4.0. 2.0. Okay, listen, if you're taking care of your men's grooming, then you've probably nicked yourself at some point. In fact, I guarantee every person listening to this, if you have trimmed your balls, you've trimmed your pubic area, shall we say, with some beard trimmers or face trimmers or head trimmers, whatever, guarantee it's a bloody minefield out there. Okay. You bleed, you ache, you sting, it hurts. With Manscaped, that is a thing of the past. And you can use it on any part of your body you so wish. But Harrington, I know you, what have you been using it on? Because you are covered in a lot of hair right now.
I've been using it on my head. You know what I mean? Like they have, 5,000 quiet stroke technology engine. 7,000 quiet stroke engine in this new generation.
5,000 sounded impressive.
Yeah.
7,000 stroke RPM. That is just ridiculous.
2,000 more rounds per minute.
Wow.
Instant, so fast, right? So, you know, I did it myself. I got my head down to like a nice little one. It cuts off trips to the barber. I don't have to go there to them to take. It's super easy to take care of it now, right? My girl cleans it up for me. I use it to trim Sexist. My beard and obviously on the Manscaped parts. It's an all-in-one, baby. It takes care of everything.
But you're forgetting about the charging stand that's powered by USB. You're forgetting about the quiet stroke technology. This bad boy's waterproof, and it comes with an LED light on it. So if you want to trim your balls in the dark, don't know why you'd want to do that. But if you do, you can do it. You can with the Manscaped 4.0. All you got to do is get yourself one of these. Okay, they're fantastic. They are. You must have seen Manscaped. They're sponsoring a lot of shows and content and things out there. Manscaped.com. Is the website. Go there. Manscaped.com. M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D. Manscaped.com. And then use the code BISPING20. You're going to get 20% off and free shipping, which will save you some more money. Manscaped.com. BISPING20 is the code for 20% off and free shipping. All right, where were we? All right, before we get into all of the awards, because you guys voted in droves, crazy amounts of numbers, and people came out and cast their votes. Over 70 million people cast their votes, and we want to get it right. We have tabulated, we have tallied them, we've counted them, and we will give you your winners and our winners of the Believe You Me end of year awards. But there is a couple of little news stories that we're going to get to. One that has been doing the rounds, and, it's kind of just fucking nonsensical, really. It's Dana White versus Jake Paul. Can you believe this? There's a sentence I never thought I'd say. It all started with Jake Paul accusing Dana White of being on cocaine. I think that's where this all started. Now, far be it from me to have to come out and defend Dana White, because I don't. But I can give my opinions on the matter. Having known Dana White and worked for the UFC for 15, 16 years, and somebody that was a nightclub DJ in dance clubs for many, many years, okay? I kind of know when, I would have an inkling of when someone's on recreational drugs. And I'll just say this right now, unequivocally, I have never once, ever once, of course I'm going to say this, but thought, oh, Dana's coked out of his mind again. There he is. He doesn't know what he's doing. So Jake Paul is talking out of his fucking ass. And if that's the best he's got, it's a little bit pathetic. But still, Dana came back and said, okay, you know what? Drug test me all you want, but we're going to USAR test you. And before we get to the tape in a minute, because Jake Paul came back. He did a video and he says, look, listen. He said, look at me. I'm a fat bitch. I'm not on steroids. Hate to break it to you, that is not how steroids typically work. You can still take steroids and not have the body of a Greek god. Do you know what I mean? Case in point, Tim Sylvia. Tim Sylvia was known for taking steroids back in the day. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Josh Barnett, not that I'm saying Josh Barnett is got a terrible physique, but he wasn't known for being ripped. You know what I mean? Just because you take steroids doesn't mean you're going to be ripped. That is nonsense. But still, Brian, roll the tape, because if anything, I'll give Jake Paul credit for his video production skills, I guess.
Are one of the most selfish, capitalistic motherfuckers that I've ever seen. And everybody else needs you, Dana. I'm the only person that doesn't need you. And I don't give a fuck about you. But all these people, all your fighters, all of them, they can't say shit because you'll just bench them. You met your maker. I'm not going to stop. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
I use cocaine.
The bottom line, Dana, is that you won't add healthcare for your fighters because you don't give a
fuck about them.
And you're too much of a greedy bitch to pay your minimum fighter more than $12,000 for risking their lives, which is what a janitor makes. You need to pay them $50,000, Dana. Stop avoiding my points.
Are one of the most selfish, capitalistic motherfuckers that I've ever seen.
I mean, again, anytime I stick up for Dana, it's always like, oh, you're just a UFC shill and all the rest of it, which I understand why people would say that, but I am. I disagree with a lot of what Jay Paul says. Number one, there is healthcare for the fighters, you know, so I'm not sure what tree's barking up there. Obviously, when you're done with the UFC, you don't get lifelong healthcare coverage, but if you're part of the UFC, you are taken care of. And if you injure yourself in training camp or anything like that, it's all covered. He's talking there about, again, the 12 and 12. I don't know if that is the minimum. I know it was the minimum. That might have progressed, but I'm not sure. But still, the thing is, and I hate talking about this because it's like I am defending the UFC, but I am going to defend it because unfortunately, that is the entry level. That is the entry level. And there's an entry level to everything. In boxing, it's a lot fucking less. The big money fight between Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, I forget, and I don't have the example of on my fingertips here, but I remember at the time when the payouts came out, there were people on that fight card that were earning like $200. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So rather than coming out here and attacking Dana when he's got no intention of fighting in the UFC whatsoever. No intention of fighting in the UFC, but he's attacking their pay structure. What about your own sport? You're not a mixed martial artist. You are proclaiming to be a boxer. You know, defend the people in your own sport first, you know, and then he come out. And the point of the video I wanted to get to was because he was talking about Masvidal. Because Masvidal, Dana came out and said, you're trying to fight Jorge Masvidal, who was a pay-per-view star. And then Jake Paul came out and said, no, he's not a pay-per-view star. Look at his Instagram post. Look at the last Instagram post of Jorge Masvidal got something like 5,000 or 10,000 likes. Okay. My mom, Pam, this is what he said in that quote. My mother, Pam, gets more likes than that on her Instagram posts, right? Now, exactly. I can see the confusion from you. I've got news for Jake Paul. That's not how this business works. Do you know what I mean? And if it did work like that, then your last fight against Tyron Woodley, which sold 65,000 pay-per-view buys, bring up Jake Paul's Instagram, if you don't mind, if we can. Bring it up. Because I looked yesterday. He gets a lot of likes. He's a very popular guy on social media. He's got like 1 million likes. He's got 871,000 likes. He's got, you know, he gets a lot of likes. But likes on Instagram do not cross over to the pay-per-view world. If they did, he would have sold 1 million pay-per-views, not 65,000. And you can't see. Fucking hell, look at that picture there.
2.4 million, 1 million, 837K.
You know, yeah, he's getting a lot of likes on Instagram. God bless him. But that's not real world. Like when I did that grappling match against Chael Sonnen years ago, it's for yourshow.tv. I don't know if you remember when I did that, but they had Roy Jones Jr. in the main event versus a fan boxing somebody. They had Kurt Angle versus Rey Mysterio in a wrestling match. They had me versus Chael Sonnen and a few other names. I forget the whole lineup. They had Quinton Rampage Jackson commentating. And their business model was, look at all these people. They have huge, huge social media followings. So if 20 people, if just 20%, pardon me, if 20% of the people that follow them on Instagram or Twitter or whatever buy the pay-per-view, it's going to sell millions and millions and millions. It sold less than 5,000. I don't know how many it sold, but it sold next to fuck all because that's not how the real world works. And just because you have a lot of followers, they don't convert into paid customers. It's just not the way it works.
And it's like the, you know, we've seen this now with Jake Paul in, you know, he tried his hand at being a promoter, right? Like he had a percentage of the Triller thing and he quickly left that to go and take a check from somebody else at Showtime. You know what I mean? Like the for somebody like that to come out and to question a promoter when you've never done that in the fight business is crazy to me, right? Like I have no clue what the logistics are that Dana White has to deal with every day. So for Jake Paul, you know, somebody who did try this, right, and has failed now and or has moved on to taking a check from somebody else, it's hard for me to process it.
Well, the reality is this. If that did sell 65,000 pay-per-view buys, and we're moving on in just a second to something more fun and the end of the year award shows, and we'll have a laugh, but this is, you know, it's all over the place. It was all over social media yesterday. If, and by all accounts, it is accurate, 65,000 pay-per-view buys. If that's true, as I say, it is, and they both got paid multiple million dollars each, which by all accounts is what they both got paid, right? That fight lost money. Simple as that. When you factor in all the staff that they have, all the officials, all the flights, everything that goes into it, the arena rental, everything that goes into making that possible, and you only sell 65,000, and then you factor in all the fighters' purses, that event lost money. That event lost money. And if you continue to put on events that lose money, then what happens to the business? Well, the business goes fucking under. Okay, so while fighter pay is always a contentious topic and it is always rising in the UFC, and there's many people, myself included, that have done really well out the UFC, if they followed their business model, there'd be over 500 fucking fighters that would have nowhere to fight because they would go out of business. And it's as simple as that. It is pure economics, you know. So anyway, whatever. It just kind of gets me how Jake Paul's just pretending that he's the savior to the fight game and it's his fight to fight. He's just trying to get fucking his name out there. He's just trying to go head to head with Dana White because he's going to be good for clicks, good for his profile. And to some certain people, they're going to think, oh, he's fighting the good fight. He's doing this for us. He's not. He's doing it for himself. And hey, God bless him. We're all trying to get ahead in the world, you know, but that's his angle. I don't think it's a very good one.
Well, another thing to that angle, though, is like the sheer negotiating power, right? Like if you process what that would mean, for the UFC to bump up from, you know, 12,000 to 50,000 for starting fighter pay, that would mean Jake Paul's like he's putting his draw at, you know, what are we talking about here? Like $100 to $300 million over the course of a year for him to fight one fight in the UFC. His draw is nowhere near that. So he knows he's negotiating from a position of like, you know, I'm never going to get this. So it just feels like more bolstering for no reason.
Yeah. Well, as I said, he's just trying to get eyes on him. Okay. He's just trying to, you know, I don't know what his angle is here. He's not even an MMA fighter, but he just knows that the stars, and there is there's bigger stars in the UFC than what there is in the boxing world. You know what I mean? There isn't really anyone. I mean, who's he been linked with? Tommy Fury. No wonder he's calling out fucking Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor and Jorge Masvidal. These are legit fight combat superstars. You know what I mean? Other than them, he's got fucking Tommy Fury. Tommy Fumbles to talk about. Do you know what I mean? You can't blame him. You can't fucking blame him. I'd be doing the same thing. Anyway, enough about that guy. Let's get into this award show. All right, so let's get to these awards now. As you can see, Harrington, when I'm looking at the list, the first one on is Fighter of the Year, and I like it. You know, I mean, you get the Oscars, you start off with the fucking, I don't know, Extra of the Year, then it's the soundtrack, and then set design and all the rest of it, and it builds and builds and builds, and before you know it, you get to the best movie of the year or whatever. But no, we're going in. We're doing things the opposite way round.
People are usually asleep by that point of the Oscars telecast, right? We're hitting them with it, boom, right at the front.
No fucking about. We're not trying to keep you hanging around and waiting, because you're all on the edge of your seats right now. I can tell. I can tell. Right? It's not like there's fucking every other MMA YouTube outlet is doing this. No one else. We own the exclusive rights to end of year awards. It's not like I'm doing the exact same thing for BT Sport tomorrow. No. This is the only award show that matters. And without further ado, we present to you the Fighter of the Year. And the nominations are Nama Yunus, Juliana Pena, Kamaru Usman, and Charles Oliveira. We did that last week. I gave the nominations there. And the people came out and they voted in droves. And they came out for Kamaru Usman, right? That is who the people on Twitter voted for. And Nama Yunus, 2-0. Pena, 2-0. Charles Oliveira, 2-0. I got to give it to Kamaru Usman as well. I agree with the people there. Usman had a sensational year. He's the pound for pound number one. And just sheerly on numbers alone, right? 3-0 against 2-0. So he was more active. The competition, meaning he defended the belt three times. He took out the number one contender three times. Two of those were finishes. One of them was a great fight against Covington. I agree with that. I would say the only real challenge to him would be Charles Oliveira, simply because of the fucking year that he had and finally becoming the undisputed champion of the world. But still, I say Kamaru Usman. Harrington, the floor is yours.
So Kamaru Usman, 48% of the vote on Twitter, 42% of that vote went to Charles Oliveira. It was 100% a two-fighter race. You nailed it, Mike. To me, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to take the opposite side. I'm going to say Charles Oliveira. I'm going to stick to that point. Two of Kamaru Usman's wins were rematches that I don't think we needed to see. You know, he won both of those pretty definitively. Yeah, Charles Oliveira overcame adversity against new challengers, and in both of his fights, he went in as the betting underdog. So, you know, to me, Charles Oliveira, massive year for him. He's my fighter of the year.
I have to agree with Harrington on this one because, like you said, Kamaru Usman has been undefeated for how long now? Well, not undefeated. He has the one, but he's been pretty much just steamrolling people for how long?
Yeah, but you can't hold that against him.
So no,
he
I
just
don't.
Beats everybody.
I don't hold it against him, but I will say that that Charles Oliveira's year has been maybe more significant in his career than any year that Kamaru Usman's had in the past few.
Yeah, you know? No, I totally agree. I mean, you could say the same thing for Juliana Pena, but we're not saying that. All right, next one. Fight of the year. And, of course, coming in there, we have Holloway, Yair Rodriguez taking on Max Holloway. We have Justin Gaethje, Michael Chandler, Costa Vittori, Volkanovski, Ortega. And the people came out and they said Michael Chandler versus Justin Gaethje. I find it hard that any of these are going to beat that. But they are all fantastic fights. But I agree. I was there in person. The atmosphere was fucking electric. The violence on display from both men was incredible. Same with Vitória and Costa. Same with Holloway and Rodriguez. Volkanovski Ortega was incredible as well. But I think just, I don't know. Yeah, I think Gaethje Chandler. What do you say, Harrington?
To me, the only thing that beat it, and maybe it was just because it was five rounds versus three, but Holloway versus Rodriguez, that was a war and a half. That was absolutely incredible. And you know, I mean, at multiple times in that fight, I was wondering how either man was continuing. It's great.
Yeah, no, well, see, that was the thing, Bri.
I disagree with everyone here. I think the fight of the year was Volkanovski versus Ortega. That fight was fucking ridiculous. Holy shit.
See, that's good. That's great. We have difference of opinions. You know what I mean? Fortunately, the masses agree with me. So by default, that's what we're going with. But I was going to say that all those other fights on there, they are five rounds. Gaethje Chandler was only three. I don't think either man would have survived another two rounds, which is why I would have liked to have seen it over five rounds, because you probably would have got a finish. Gaethje probably would have finished Chandler had they continued at that crazy pace. But they're all worthy contenders. Unbelievable. All right, next one. Knockout of the year. The contenders are the Rose head kick of Zhang, Usman knocking out Masvidal Bahman, the spinning wheel kick of Roberts, and Jiří Procházka with the spinning elbow attack. Masses came in, said Usman, knocking out Masvidal. Same on my YouTube. I did a poll on there as well. They came back 49% on the YouTube said Usman over Masvidal. It was a great knockout. It was significant. It was defending the belt. The spectacle was on. The spotlight was on. It was the main event. It's a title fight. He knocks out Masvidal. Masvidal's only been knocked out once before in his career, a long, long time ago. So he hasn't got a propensity for getting knocked out. However, I think Rose, for me, is out of the equation, right? I don't think she's in contention. It was a beautiful stoppage. But I think for knockout of the year, you've actually got to knock them out as opposed to it being a TKO, because Zhang Weili went down, she dropped, and then there was a few other follow shots, and then the referee stepped in. Masvidal was out. Balmondes of Roosevelt Roberts was fucking out. And Yuri Prohaska, I'm pretty sure Reyes fell face first to the canvas.
Reyes was out before he even moved.
Yeah, they were knockouts. I think for knockout of the year, you've got to put them to sleep, even for just a split second. I'm going to go against the grain. What are we saying? What do you think, Harrington and Bri?
Jiri.
I'm going to say the Usman KO simply for like it was our Ali shot. You know what I mean? Like the Ali standing over Liston. Jorge Masvidal being out on Kamaru Usman's back before he hits the ground is arguably the best still shot in MMA history.
It is a good shot. It is unbelievable. But Jiří Procházka with the double elbow attack was pretty sick. Balmondes with a spinning wheel kick. I mean, that was really good as well, but we have seen that before. Not that we've seen plenty of
handful, though, right?
Oh, yeah. No, there's not endless. But right-hand KOs, we've seen tons of those as well. It is a classic. Yeah, I'm going to go with Jiří for that one. My boy, Jiří Procházka. All right, today's episode is brought to you by BlueChew.com. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Listen, you know the deal, okay? Performance enhancement for the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that offers the same ingredient as Viagra and Cialis, but it is in chewable form at a fraction of the cost, okay? Blue Chew's tablets can help men achieve a harder, stronger erection to combat all forms of erectile dysfunction. And it's at that point, erectile dysfunction, where I throw to you, Harrington.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of erectile dysfunction, right? Let's say you've already gone twice in a night and you want to go for a third time. Nobody's saying there's anything wrong with that. It's like Popeye's spinach, right? You just pop it in, chew it, and you're ready to do it, right? They're chewable tablets, Sildenafil or Tadalafil, whichever one works better for you. You get on the horn there with a licensed physician. You tell them about what you got going on. They figure out which one's best for you, and you decide how many you want. It couldn't be any easier.
And then you don't have to go down to the supermarket, sorry, the pharmacy, and stand there and go, "Hi, yeah, have you got my dick pills?" None of that, because it arrives at your door in discreet packaging. Nobody needs to know about it because it's nobody else's business. We won't even know about it. You people sitting there right now listening to this ad and thinking, you know, I might take advantage of this offer. Even when you go to BlueChew.com, and then even when you use the promo code Believe, and even then when you get your first month for free, we won't know anything about it. In fact, your missus doesn't need to know. Your boyfriend doesn't need to know. Whoever you are chewing and doing on, they don't need to know. That's the beauty of it. They just think, man, this guy is incredible. Okay, so the website is BlueChew.com. The code is Believe. You will get your first month for free. And we thank you, Blue Chew, for sponsoring the podcast. BlueChew.com, code is Believe. Okay, where were we? All right, that brings us up to submission of the year. Fluffy Hernandez choking out Rodolfo Vieira, Islam's arm triangle from half guard against Udoba, Andre Muniz breaking Jacare's arm, and then Amanda Nunes with the mounted triangle of Megan Anderson. Boys, what say you?
I gave my vote last week on this one. Amanda Nunes with the mounted triangle was incredible.
It was good.
And how often do you see a mounted triangle?
Why did this come in there, a joint, Harrington? Because there's two highlighted for the People's Choice, right?
Yeah, it is a dead heat right now with 28.5% of the vote, each going to Fluffy Hernandez choking out Adolfo Vieira and Islam getting that triangle from half guard against Drew Dober.
The only thing, listen, Fluffy choking out Rodolfo was shocking to everybody because if you know the sport and you know Rodolfo Vieira, he's a multiple-time jiu-jitsu world champion and the guy's a fucking beast. When you look at him, the way that he's built and all the rest of it, he's a monster. But Fluffy weathered the storm and then he got his submission, right? And he choked him out. But that's because Rodolfo was so tired. He was exhausted. But still, it finished the fight. It finished the fight much like the way Juliana Pena did against Nunes because she was exhausted. Again, I'm not taking away from the greatness of what Pena did that night. But for submission of the year, a guillotine or a guillotine, as you guys say, I don't know if I can sign off on a guillotine against a fucking exhausted opponent as being the best submission. Impactful.
We had a pile of twisters last year. You cannot win with a guillotine.
Yeah. Oh, no, a pile? No, I mean, we had, was it Bryce Mitchell? Did
was
he?
Was there two or three twister wins in last year or over the last 2 years?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's been a couple of years, but yeah, I think we've had like two in the last two. Yeah, I don't know. For me, it was, getting into this sport, Jacare being, just the alligator, an absolute monster, somebody you never wanted to be on the ground with, for him to have his arm broken, in it was just, that was mind-blowing to me. What I mean?
Brazilian of him.
Yeah. Very, very.
For bonus points, by the way, who was the first person to ever pull off a twister in the UFC? Fucking Google it, Harrington. I can see you straight away. Lean forward and start typing with something off camera.
I went to do it, and then I pulled my hands back and just rubbing them together to show.
Do you know?
I do not.
Was it a woman?
No, it was not a woman. No. Yeah, I. This probably sounds bad, but women are very, very flexible. I doubt a twister would work on a woman.
No, there was a female MMA fight that ended in twister.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, just because the women are so flexible. You know what I mean? And the twist is that contorting your back. Angela Lee. KGB Lee. No, it was the Korean Zombie versus what was he called? The fucking Leonard Garcia. Korean Zombie, Leonard Garcia.
That fight ended?
Oh, yeah.
Golly.
I did not remember that.
I want to go back and watch that.
We're going to go through the next one, which is the breakthrough fighter of the year. Now, a lot of people burst onto the scene this year, breakthrough fighter of the year, the person that, we had Paddy the Baddy on earlier. He might be debutant of the year or newcomer of the year or whatever. Harrington decided to fucking call it. We're yet to get to it. I don't know what he did call it. But the breakthrough, the person that broke through to the masses, to the mainstream, that went from the obscurity of the undercards to the main event, taking on all comers and becoming a household name in mixed martial arts. And the contenders are Islam Makhachev, Bilal Muhammad, Tom Aspinall, and Cyril Garn. The people came in. What was the percentage of the people that voted for Cyril Garn, Harrington?
Overwhelming. I believe it was 49% among all four entrants. So getting half the vote there.
Yeah, I would have thought Tom Aspinall. I mean, Bilal Muhammad's been around for a little bit. He has had a good year, and he finished strong beating Wonderboy Thompson. So shout out, Bilal. Congrats. Islam, he's been in the UFC for a little bit now, right? So it's not exactly like he's been clawing away. Tom Aspinall had a fantastic year, and I'm maybe a little biased, but let's be honest, Cyril Garn is fighting in a few weeks right down the street from where I'm sitting right now, going up against Francis Ngannou in a fight that he's got a really good chance of becoming the champion. Yep, I'll go with the general consensus there. What say you, fellas?
Yes, sir. Cyril Garn, for sure. He won half of a world heavyweight championship this year.
against Derek Lewis. Yeah, half of a world championship. There you go. Kind of a negative way of putting a great achievement.
Hey, man. I don't know what else to say about it. He won half of a championship. But that's better than I fucking got.
He won the number one contender matchup. All right. The next in line, we have the best come from behind performance. And the nominations are Charles Oliveira, Michael Chandler. Oh my God. Charles Oliveira, Michael Chandler. I mean, it looked like Charles was done in that first round. Anthony Hernandez versus Rodolfo Vieira. We spoke about that before. You know, he had a tough opening round, then he came back and got the guillotine. Clay Guida, Leonardo Santos. Fucking hell. I called that one. That was crazy. I mean, what a comeback, because Clay Guida, the referee could have stopped that fight. The referee could have stopped that fight. And then, of course, we have here, which is my personal winner for the year, Merab Dvalishvili taking on Marlon Moraes. I don't know if you saw that one. Merab, it was at UFC 2. Was it the last pay-per-view or the pay-per-view before? It was pretty recent. Merab, how the referee didn't step in and stop that fight is beyond me. But I'm glad that he didn't, because he turned it around and ended up getting the stoppage himself. But what a fight that was. I'm going to go against the masses. I say Merab versus Marlon Moraes was the comeback from behind performance of the year. BYM trophy winner. They're in the mail. We're sending them through. The trophies are on the way. Just like mine's probably on the way from Fighters Only. You pricks, send me my fucking trophy. And I even messaged them on Twitter. I said, okay, so trophy in the mail? Nothing. Analyst of the year. Don't use my name and put it in fucking nominations if you're not going to give me the trophy when I win.
Well, I mean, you know, you should probably just show up to the award ceremony next year. You know, like, you're a shoo-in, right? You got the win this year. They're guaranteed if you show up next year, they're not going to not give it to you. And then they'll probably have two awards for you.
Better things to do with my
award sucks. Where is it?
All right, so we've got a fun one here. This is the Jorge Masvidal Resurrection Award. I'm assuming you mean resurrecting one's career, like Masvidal, of course. He was known as kind of being a journeyman, if you will, which isn't a fair moniker for him. It's not a fair description of his fight career, but he really came back in style in 2016 and became the household superstar that he is now. So Clay Guida, Julio Marquez, Derek Brunson, and Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo comes in here with most of the vote. I'm going to go along with that. What do you guys say?
Yeah, I mean, 70% for Jose Aldo. I kind of created this award for him. But, I mean, I will give a shout-out to Derek Brunson. You know what I mean? Like, that is somebody who, you know, I had written off as a title challenger at any point. Now he is squarely, you know, in the mix at 185.
No, he really is. He really is. I mean, Derek Brunson, fair play. That's a good shout. Clay Guida is good as well. Julio Marquez, yeah, you know, he had a good year. But Jose Aldo, man, come on. What a
Jose
Aldo
is the only dude on there who's, like, really gunning for a belt.
Yeah, no, he's that's the only thing with what you just said, Brian, is that he got his ass handed to him quite handily yes, by Pyotrian, you know.
Sure.
You know, he did. But anyway, moving on here to one of my personal favorite awards on here, which is the Michael Bisping Spirit Award. The contenders are... Harrington, go ahead. I can't read out my own award content.
Yeah, I don't know why you. Let me do this. For the fighter that most embodies the Michael Bisping spirit. Glover Teixeira, Charles Oliveira, Juliana Pena, and Chris Curtis are your nominations. And the winner of the most important award of this show, Glover Teixeira, according to the supporters or believers. Yeah, I mean, you know, that makes sense to me, no?
No, it does. I mean, it makes sense to me because Glover Teixeira is a badass and he's getting the Michael Bisping Award. I'm like, I sign off on that. Charles Oliveira, though, there would be another one. For me, it'd be between Glover and Charles all day long. You know, to see both of those guys come through after what they've been through, the careers, the ups and downs, the losses. I mean, Charles Oliveira, I'd probably give it to Charles. I mean, because Glover, for me, was always always a contender. Always highly respected. You could say always the bridesmaid, never the bride, you know, which is the whole point of the award to a certain degree. But Charles Oliveira was not, he was respected, but not as much, not as universally respected as Glover Teixeira. Glover Teixeira was known for being fucking, you know, had John Jones not have been the champion, maybe Glover would have been one of the guys, you know what I'm saying? And to see him to finally do it for Glover, it's incredible. But Charles Oliveira, to come back, you know, from being finished 8 times, I believe it is, in the UFC, and now be the undisputed champion. And even against Dustin Poirier, I don't know why. Shame on me.
Shame.
I didn't give him much chance of beating Dustin. I just thought Dustin would be too much. You know, I mean, yeah, I go against the masses there. I'm going to say Charles Oliveira gets my shout.
Well, I mean, the only reason that I think Juliana Pena even made this list is simply because I thought it was very cool. She was calling out Amanda Nunes pretty much from, you know, when she got off the Ultimate Fighter, right? She was 100% ready and said she saw something in Amanda Nunes's game that she thought she could beat. And I do remember, you know, there was for years you were talking about, you know, let me get that shot against Anderson Silva. And you did get in there against him and you proved your point to the masses. So Juliana Pena, that was why she made the inclusion of the list. That was the only reason why I think she had a shot.
And a worthy inclusion, 100%. You can't deny Juliana Pena beating, you know, the odds. Beating everybody. Nobody, I don't just mean Nunes. Nobody gave her a fucking chance. I didn't. I thought Nunes was going to smoke her. You know, and even the first round showed that. But it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And she finished with a belt around the waist. Well done, Juliana. But yeah, I got Charles Oliveira, but there's no right or wrong here, let's be honest. You know, they're all done. Just to make it onto this list, that is an achievement in itself, Harrington. I mean, these guys, when they see this episode, they're going to be, they're going to be happy.
I mean, look at, you know, the fourth entrant, Mr. Chris Curtis. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, had nothing going on for him heading into 2021. And now 3 fights in, he's got performance bonuses out the wazoo, finishes in the UFC, and people are talking about his name. I mean, you know, you just talk about people who, all four of these fighters, incredible years for them, truly embodying the Michael Bisping spirit.
No, there you go. And here's another division that truly embodies the Michael Bisping spirit, is the hottest female fighter of the year. Oh my god, I hate doing these ones. Go on, I'll let you read these out. I mean, this is in this day and age, really, Harrington, 2021, 2022, even. Yeah, no, I'm joking, of course. I'll be honest, I don't know some of these names. There she is, of course, Macy Barber, hottest female fighter of the year award. Sorry, Brian, we'll let you put in your little piece there. Brian was fucking, what Brian didn't mention at the top of the show is that he hasn't had sleep in days because he's been editing all these little pieces.
I am shocked.
You look like a vampire.
My screen is super bright and white. It doesn't help with my complexion.
No. You look like you are a day walker or something. But still, the nominations are Mackenzie Dern, personal friend of mine. Noah Husband, great guy. Valerie Laredo. I do believe Valerie was the winner of last year. She was
reigning defending.
Reigning defending champion. Macy Barber, she's on there. Diana Azarenkova.
I made him put this one in so she could win.
Diana Azarenkova, I believe that's... and then Liana Jojua. Jojua? Have you spelled that right?
Yes. She is a UFC fighter, and I believe she is 2-0 with the promotion.
Can we see some pictures? That's what we need. We can't just sit here and, like, you know... Go through
all right.
This.
So
is this a pain in the ass for you, Brian?
Here's my pick.
That is Diana Azarenkova. I mean, listen, for me, I'm talking more. I mean, she's a very good looking lady, isn't she? Let's be honest. Why would you want to punch her in the face?
I do not. I
of all the places I want to punch her, her face is not one of them. Mackenzie Dern. I know Mackenzie, she's a sweetheart.
Well, so here's the thing. I she's been on the show a number of times before. She's an incredible guest. I respect her as a fighter, and I truly do believe in her title aspirations. So I do think, you know, it is a little bit rude to be putting her on the hottest fighter list. But when I don't, all the believers get upset and say, how could you not? Like, we all simp for Mackenzie Dern, and it's rude of the Believing Me podcast not to recognize the beauty of this incredible fighter.
Offensive, some might say. You're fucked if you do, you're fucked if you don't. You know what I mean? You stick them on the list and all of a sudden it's sexist. You don't put them on the list and they're being overlooked and they're like, what am I? You know, an ugly person? No.
Very rude.
And respect to one and all, I say. You all get a trophy just for being on the list. There you go. Who's your pick? Let me guess. Macy Barber.
No, you know what? I mean, she's an inclusion on there simply for the meme at this point. I mean, Valerie Lareda, I mean, talk about somebody who we gave her the BYM award last year. She took it. She ran with it. I think she was the most excited of all the people who won an award last year. How could I not give it to her when she has done absolutely nothing but bless Instagram and the cage with incredible performances and looks?
And she is the populist vote.
I know how, because she's on the list.
I know how, because she's on the list. Well, listen, the people have spoken for this one. Unfortunately, Brian, so I've got to go against the grain. They've said Valerie Lareda. The people have spoken. The masses have spoken. And that's what we're going to go with. The hottest male fighter of the year is now upon us. One Amir Khan. That's what just brought me a pause. I'm not saying he's not my cup of tea. I mean, he's definitely not my cup of tea. But still,
how could you say that? He's such a striking gentleman.
Is he?
Yeah, he's pretty hot.
Okay. God bless him. where'd he go? Makwan Amakani, Paulo Costa, Brian Ortega, Charles Jourdain. Jourdain. Oh, some interesting names on there. Brian Ortega, though, he has those smoldering eyes. You know, he's a handsome devil, his old Brian, isn't it?
I mean, dude, this guy traded in the long flowing locks for like a, you know, just the shaved head, came in skinhead into a fight. And it was like, man, it was a rough year in 2020. 2021, grew some of the hair back, had the fight with Alexander Volk. He knew that he had a pay-per-view to sell. He's like, I need some hair back. He got hot as hell again. And he's back on the list for 2021.
Choice of words. Handsome. He got his act together.
No.
Hot as hell.
Yeah, Brian Ortega is not handsome. He's hot, dude. Brian Ortega is a hot guy, dude. He has hot guy energy, fully.
Jeez Louise. Okay. All right. We got next one is the ring card of the girl.
What?
Ring card girl of the year. Pardon me. Butchered there, but we got the same old faces on there. Brittany Palmer, Ariane Celeste, Chrissy Blair, and Carly Baker. I see Brittany Palmer was the populist vote. What was the percentage on that?
It was pretty overwhelming. I feel like she is the name that people know. So that's the first one. It is the top of the list for a reason. She got 44.8% of the vote, so almost half of all votes.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, she's the most... You know, Chrissy Blair's on there. I mean, Carly Baker's hardly ever on there these days. She really only does some of the international events, but what with COVID and whatnot, she hasn't had much chance to shine, has she? But there it is, 45%. Brian, before we move on, any thoughts on the ring card girl of the year?
Oh, Chrissy Blair, for sure. I'm looking at pictures right now. She's just doing God's work, really.
That's the way you phrase it. I like it. And then, okay, finally, the Luke Rockhold Conceive, Believe, and Achieve award. And again, I I struggle with this one a little bit, Harrington. Just give the premise and break it down. What constitutes a reception of the Luke Rockhold Conceive, Believe, Achieve Award? What must these nominees embody? What are the qualities that they must have? What is it that gets you on this list as a nominee, let alone a winner?
Okay, well, I mean, it's for people who conceive and believe, regardless of whether or not they can achieve, right?
Like, so achieving is at the bottom of the totem pole, but they class themselves as a samurai. Okay, they're anything but an average bloke, but they conceive and they believe, you know. But okay, the achieving part's out the window. But so on the list you have Conor McGregor, Kevin Holland, right, John Jones, and Dylan Danis.
Yeah, okay? So like, imagine Dylan Danis, right? He sees like a guy who makes cupcakes hanging outside of a bar, you know, being a bouncer on the weekends, and Dylan, right, he believes that he can, you know, beat this guy up, and he conceived the plan to do so. He just, you know, achieved getting on TMZ, getting choked out by a baker.
Yeah, a chocolatier.
I'm sorry.
If my memory serves me correctly. So, yeah, I mean, that would be my number one pick, and also for Dildo of the Year, Dickhead of the Year, Non-Achiever of the Year, burying his own career of the year, but we have Conor McGregor in at number one. I mean, of course, that is the people on Twitter, but why would Conor McGregor come in and receive this award?
Well, you know, if you remember, Conor McGregor said he was going to be, you know, back in like 2 months with his little robot leg. That still hasn't materialized. You know,
with
there
his
was
little
there was...
robot leg. I mean, come on. I put what? A bit an iota of respect on his name and the injury that he went through.
No, I has two robot legs. How dare you?
I mean, look, I'm just saying these are the words that he was using, talking about being back stronger and better than ever, rebuilt like a machine, talking about people's wives being in his DMs, the donation that was going to be made to Dustin Poirier's foundation that never quite materialized. You know, the list goes on and on of things Conor McGregor has mentioned on social media that have not come to passing in the real world. So I think people were you know, jumping on that train when they voted for McGregor this time.
Okay. All right. Sure. All right. I mean, I'll sign off on that. Brian, you got anything to add to this conversation?
I'm going to say Kevin Holland should win this one.
Why?
Why?
Kevin Holland was getting wrestled to death inside of a ring while talking to the commentary, right? Just talking shit and trying to engage with the fans while actively being wrestled to the ground and beaten into submission.
It was crazy to watch. The man was just yelling at anyone who would listen to him, trying to get some help.
It was the anti-Max Holloway.
It was crazy.
Max Holloway dodging punches.
But in his defense, he's like, he knows he couldn't stop the takedown. He's getting out of wrestling. So at that point, he's like, all I can do is to try and save face. He's like, just pretend I'm not bothered. You know what I mean? Because he's like, I'm clearly getting wrestle fucked here. I'm getting picked up. I'm getting put down. I'm losing this fight. But I'm not getting hurt. He's not injuring me. So fuck it. I'm just going to chat a little bit of shit. You know what I mean? Which I don't blame him for, because it is fucking annoying when you're in there and that's all they want to do and you can't stop it. You're like, for fuck's sake.
I very much appreciated the levity involved in all of that.
Yeah. No, me too. You know, you mentioned there before about Conor and this whole thing with Dustin Poirier, and I'm bringing this up. Why? I don't know, but I saw it yesterday. You're talking about the donation, right? Right. Turns out Dustin Poirier, I saw Charles Oliveira on Instagram. If you Google this, Brian, maybe you can find it. Charles Oliveira saying that he hasn't received a donation of Dustin Poirier. Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's the exact same thing what Conor and Dustin had. I'm surprised Conor hasn't jumped on Twitter yet. I'm sure the check is in the mail, as they say. But what do you see? Because I did see it yesterday. Can you find it?
Yeah, I'm seeing an article from 7 days ago, and then there was also YouTube videos made about it.
From today, from Essentially Sports, it says the money, it's quoting Charles Oliveira, the money didn't arrive yet.
Okay, I'm sure that
Dustin Poirier didn't keep his word on donation.
I can't imagine Dustin, I mean, again, benefit of the doubt, devil's avocado, all that shit, you know what I mean? I doubt Dustin's going to go out there, right, be so vocal. What have you discovered?
I mean, Charles Oliveira is getting hate right now because of this.
Really?
So he says,
why?
I'm sure Poirier had great intention when he said that, but to tell you the truth, I really don't know if the proposed turned out to be good or bad. Right after the fight, there were so many people with bad intentions asking if I used the money or not, if I spent the money that Poirier gave me, and that really pissed me off. I've always done as much as I could since the beginning of my career, helping people with my social projects with the small amounts of money I was making. Of course, now that I'm better paid, I would be able to help more people and do so. So he's saying that like people are hitting him up for that money now, being like, oh, did you already spend that on yourself? You never gave the money that we know Poirier must have sent you.
And by people hitting him up, it's the slumlords of the Flavellas saying, hey, listen, motherfucker, we know you just got that massive donation. Where's the cash? Let's go. Mm. I doubt Dustin Poirier, you know, being so vocal about McGregor, about what happened there, being such a just generally a good dude. He's a good dude and he takes his charity work very seriously. Good for him. God bless him. I can't imagine he's going to do that. He's not going to stiff Oliveira. It's too obvious a trap to fall in. There's got to be a reason. Who knows? I mean, just send the check. I mean, in this day and age with PayPal, you could do it instantaneous. Don't even send the check. It's all electronic wire transfer. But I'm sure. I'm giving Dustin a lot of benefit of the doubt here, okay? There's two sides to every story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's Christmas, and then it's, you know, getting it to Brazil, but where, you know.
It's a whole thing. It's Christmas. Yeah. I've got to buy the kids presents, the little shits. They're never happy. And then it's the new year, and he's got lots of interviews, and, you know, he's healing from the fight.
Trying to set up that fourth McGregor fight. He's got a lot going on, man.
He's got the hot sauce. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, you guys forgot about not wanting to send the money.
Oh, yeah.
right.
Yeah. No, I can't imagine a scenario where he doesn't send the money. But still, you know, maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but I don't think I am. I guarantee we see a story within the next couple of weeks where Charles is like, yeah, got the money. There we go.
So Especially now that we're talking about it here.
No, that's what we do. We make people's lives. We make sure charitable donations are sent through. I'm just looking at MMA Junkie here, seeing if there's any big stories that we've missed before we get off air. And let everybody. Coker would gladly sign Jake Paul to Bellator.
Oh, come on now. Exactly. How about this? Johnny Walker versus Jamahal Hill.
Jamal.
Is that how you pronounce that? I don't know, man.
How many times have you heard the name Jamahal?
I mean,
how many times have you heard the name Jamal?
Sure, but that's why I figured, and I've only seen it spelt one way, so that's my bad on that.
Jamahal.
I don't get a pronunciation guide from the UFC, unlike some people on this call.
Whoa. Don't throw me under a bus.
I'm not throwing you under a bus.
I do get that, but I don't look at them. I've never once. We get files sent to us. We do, and we get an electronic recording. I have never once opened one of those emails.
I would kill for these files, by the way. I'm such a nerd.
Most of the time, you just look at them and you go, yeah, that's clearly obvious. And then on the day before we go on air, I have the fight card in front of me and I'll say to Brendan Fitzgerald, I'll say, now let me just check. Is this Makachev? And he goes, Makachev. I'm like, okay, good. Got it. Fine. Thank you. Brendan Fitzgerald's my fucking go-to. Do you know what I mean? Because if there's any motherfucker on the planet that's getting that right, you better believe it's Brendan Fitzgerald.
It's like high school again. You're just making Brendan do the homework.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Of course. What else? Chris Cyborg taking on Katsingano. Best of luck to Katsingano. Best of luck to Chris Cyborg there. All right. Nothing too big. It's all end of the year stuff, really. Oh, Tony Ferguson, Michael Chandler.
That would be fun.
Yeah. I talked about it on my YouTube, so if you want to go check that out, go see it. But apparently Ferguson tweeted that Dana said that it was the 18th or the 19th or something. Hold on, let me just click on the link here. That's the wrong link for a start. There it is. Tony Ferguson says, bitch, Michael Chandler is trying to delay the ass whooping. Tony Ferguson revealed that Michael Chandler is in the works. There's my bitch, Michael Chandler. This is Tony Ferguson. The brass Dana White relayed your message saying that you would be ready for me April/June. Forgot about May. There's a May in the middle there, but April's okay. June's okay. May, are you fucking serious? I do not fight in May. How dare you suggest such a thing? April or June, that's the window, okay? The 30 days of May are hallowed territory for Tony Ferguson. He will not step foot in an octagon. We know this.
There's a chance that's Ramadan and he might have converted to Islam. It could be a whole thing.
Many reasons, but still there he is. And then Michael Chandler came back and he said, I respect you. He said, there's a handful of guys in the game that I truly respect, and you're one of them. Only because of your tenure. Backhanded compliment. I'll beat your ass from hell. Pray for a merciful ref. We shall see if this fight happens. What a fight that would be. Did we talk about this last week? I think we did, didn't we? About Tony Ferguson, I mean.
What about Tony?
The three losses have really aged well. When you look back, Charles Oliveira, Benil Dariush, and Justin Gaethje. I mean, there's no shame in losing to them. But at the time, it was like, oh, Tony Ferguson is done. He's over, you know, because he lost to Justin first. And it was, you know, it was a tough night at the office. And then he lost to Charles Oliveira. And it was like, Charles Oliveira is not a champion. Charles Oliveira is not a contender. And he just lost to Charles Oliveira. Now Charles Oliveira is the man. Do you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Anyway, there it is. That's the show.
I mean, that's such a fun fight. Can I just that's good for either man, right? Michael Chandler needs a win. Tony Ferguson needs a win. What else are we doing here?
And Chandler has lost to two people that also beat Ferguson,
mm-hmm.
Gaethje and Oliveira. You know what I mean? So you know, it's not like he's won. He's a Benil Dariush away from being Tony Ferguson.
Exactly.
That's what he is. He's a Benil away from being a Tony.
And Benil's busy. So, yeah, go fight Tony.
Yeah. Hey, listen, great fight. Sign me up. But sign me off. That's it. That's the show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching. We've got some great guests coming up in the near future. Have a fantastic year, 2022. Make some resolutions. Ignore Harrington. Ignore Brian. Right, be the best version of you that you can be in 2022. And until Thursday, we wish you farewell, and we'll see you soon.